You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, September 23rd, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is The Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District. Today on the program, we are not live from Occupy Wall Street. We headed down there. It was sprinkling, then it started to rain a little more. It was getting wet. I was thinking, do we fry the equipment? Tick tock, tick tock. We ended up not. We will go back there maybe Tuesday. I promise we will get down there. We do have some a quick video, and we will talk about it more in the show as it progresses. But of course, today on the program, Cliff Schechter will be joining us. Recap of the insanity and the cravenness and the horridness of the Fox, Google, that whatever the hell it was, debate last night. Also on the program, maybe Chris Rosen. And, of course, the news in the Week in Review, sung by Jimmy Reefercake and the Screaming Majority. Great offerings this week. So the plan was Matt and I were going down there. Evan was going to be here in the studio in the event that that it was too wet. Of course, the weather said 100% chance of rain. I thought maybe we could get lucky, but there's a lot of rain. And when I looked at we went down there. We found the square. How many people would you say were there?
I would say perhaps maybe 100 right now, maybe a little bit less, but it seemed like there were people coming and going because of the rain. Like they were running out to get supplies and things. A lot of people were distracted with just covering the different things that were there, the different setups for food and for the media center. So a lot of people were just distracted with the rain itself.
Right. And I think that was part of the reason too, aside from the fact that I realized we needed to put something down on the tables because they were all wet. It's a nice little park, and we saw two or three people, part of the Occupy Wall Street crew, sweeping, cleaning up the park. Everybody was, I'm telling you, if I had left a candy wrapper on one of those tables, it would be gone in seconds.
They have their own little community down there. They all had roles. They were doing different things. There was a guy who was organizing them to get together for different things that they saw that were going on. Like these kids came by with a sign that said, I'm not sure which school, it was some public school. They came by with a sign saying, we support you in democracy and everything like that. And everyone made sure that they got over there, made those kids feel that their sign was being seen and everything.
A lot of cops, sort of across the street, nothing terribly confrontational. The park is open to anybody, so there's a lot of construction workers in there, too, despite the rain, of course. People were getting food, it looks like a great scene. If you can get down there this weekend, do it.
We shot a little bit of footage, and some kid walked by and heard what we were talking about, and he friendly interjected and gave his little point of view.
Yeah, folks were very, very friendly down there. So let's play this clip, and we'll put it up on YouTube afterwards. But we'll play this clip, and then we will check in with our buddy Cliff Schechter. All right, so we're down in Liberty Square. It is Friday morning, 10:30, 10:45. It's starting to rain, and I don't want to screw up the equipment. So we'll come back down Tuesday broadcast live from here. There's still about probably close to 100
plus people here, and nearly as many cops, despite the rain. And they're not getting paid overtime.
No benefits.
We'll come back. We'll come back and do this on Tuesday. Just don't want to fry the equipment. All right. See you Tuesday. Healthcare plan for America. Don't get sick.
If you think that's a fair ad, okay, then you're a Republican and an asshole. Have at it, Hoss. Be in that party. Despicable, man.
They're the bad guys.
Analysts, taxpayer bailout.
Yeah, that's not true.
When Obama won, the reason why we worked so hard for him,
we didn't want a garden variety politician.
Taking a stand, not just cutting deals.
That's what vision is. Yeah. That's what vision is.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media. Edited, organized, and mixed. Only at bestoftheleft.com.
Cliff Shack Dot, Libertize LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. If you want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Shack Dot, Libertize LLC.
That's right, Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com. Cliff, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Sam?
I am doing well. I'm a little bit damp, but aside from that, all things are well. I'm still just sort of basking in the glow of another Republican debate last night. The horridness, the horribleness. You know, let me ask you this. Is it me? I mean, and I'm not underestimating the ability of these candidates to win in a general election in this economic environment. But I am not impressed by Romney or Perry. They seem small to me.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. I mean, I think some of that is the Perry, you know,
he's stupid.
He's a moron, and obviously he fits such a Republican stereotype. And it may just be getting to the point where, you know, that stereotype and that persona is just tired. You know, where even I think some people who are Republicans are like, really? Another dumb fucking cowboy? You know, I mean, for lack of a better, I mean, you know, it's like, how many times can you guys keep recycling the same persona and sending it our way? Right. I don't know.
You know, it's interesting because I actually think that Perry could be more dangerous in a general election than Romney. You know, I vacillate back and forth. But and so I'm not underestimating his ability to win, but man, is he just stupid. I mean, I every time I see him in a debate, if he gets anything that is in some way a challenge to him or something, he's just got this look of like a deer in the headlights. Like you can almost hear his brain trying to work and nothing's happening in there.
I agree. I mean, I think in the end, you're absolutely right. I think he worries me in a general, because I think that sometimes people go for the dumbest and simplest explanations when they're scared.
Right, and he's also the greatest contrast from Obama.
That's exactly right. He is as different as one can be from Obama in every way imaginable. And he also, you know, he's a con man. I mean, he sells the story of the Texas miracle, which is really a story of newly arrived immigrants, you know, and his finding ways for them to scrape toilets to make a living. And that's like the big, you know, the big, you know, gr- growth, job growth that, that supposedly took place in Texas, although you start looking a little deeper and the economy is completely screwed there and the deficit was enormous and they needed stimulus money and the healthcare situation is literally third world. So there's all that. I mean, not that facts ever mattered as much to the Republicans or at all in some cases. But I think in a general, you know, again, if people are scared, if the economy is in bad enough shape and they want just a contrast to Obama and they just want change, he represents change, obviously. And that is worrisome. You know, in Mitt Romney's case, like, he should have everything it takes to be a president. His own worst enemy is himself.
Yes.
Obvious lack of confidence in who he is as a person, that he can't stick to a single damn position longer than, you know, this phone call will go between you and me. And I mean, I don't know, that guy doesn't wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and just sort of realize what a reprehensible human being he is. You can see I've got a little bit of an edge to me today, Sam. That's what happens when my hard drive crashes.
I understand. I hope you backed it up.
Mostly, yes.
Okay.
And thankfully, I'm smart enough to have attached most other things in Gmails to myself so that they're all there.
Smart.
But I digress. No, I really think in Romney's case, you know, because look, I mean, he's the guy that should be a Republican president. This is the way Republicans choose presidents. You know, who was there before, but also they like the guys with the pedigree, you know, and he's got that. He comes from the establishment wing of the party. In fact, what used to be the Rockefeller wing, and he believed what they believed until he decided he didn't believe any of that anymore.
Right.
You know, he
people
was
forget
a guy
there was
really
a time where when he ran for Senate in Massachusetts, and I remember this because he had, and this was 15, 16 years ago. I just remember John Benjamin and I sitting in a crappy apartment, I think in Somerville, just repeating the lines from his ads because it was
Mitt Romney.
They had some weird announcer always Mitt Romney, but he at that time said, "I will be to the left of Ted Kennedy on abortion or women's
rights." Also on gay rights.
Yeah, and
you know, he criticized Reagan, as you know, and said that he was an independent and didn't. I think he either said he didn't vote for Reagan or didn't support Reagan.
Oh,
or,
my God! I'm going to faint.
I know.
I've got the vapors.
Hearts are flutter across the nation.
He criticized Saint Ronagalus, Reaganist. Oh my God!
There's literally right now, as we're saying this, assuming any of them are hearing it. There's Republicans across the nation masturbating to pictures of Reagan who just lost it.
So now there was a couple of things I noticed about the debate last night. One was that you know, it was one of those like Google, YouTube, I can't remember, you know, what it was, but they
right.
asked the most difficult questions of the least possible victorious candidates. And so they asked like this, there was one question about healthcare that they asked Ron Paul. They won't ask Perry and Romney. There was one kid who called in who said, you know, I'm 25 years old. I would never have health insurance if it wasn't for the Affordable Care Act. What do you say? Would you repeal this part of the Affordable Care Act when it's given so many of us health insurance, which we otherwise wouldn't have? And of course, that's a great question. And of course, Fox
right.
is, you know, gives that question to Ron Paul or Gary Johnson, you know, somebody who that's not really that relevant. The question really should be asked of Perry and Romney, who are clearly the two front runners.
Right.
And. But they don't do that. And then they ask this question. I'm going to play it now. This is you won't be able to see it now. I know you've seen it, but this is a question that came in from U.S. military personnel afterwards. Megyn Kelly, who I actually think may have been manufactured at the exact same factory as Mitt Romney. They must have like a male line and a female line. And they create these robots that are really attractive in a sort of like futuristic way. And they're sort of like
right.
these like Cylons. Anyways, and she said afterwards that when this question was first submitted, because on video, he had to have his face digitized out. But since the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which happened earlier this week, we can show his face. Now, the other thing that struck me about this guy is he's got arms literally the size of my thighs. Like, his muscles, I've just, it's unbelievable how.
And I've seen you in shorts before. I've got
huge thighs. I got huge calves. I'm known for my calves. And this guy's arms were massive. But it's just something I noticed. I mean, I got distracted by, like, holy cow, how does someone get guns like that? And but here's the question that he asks. And really, what's more relevant is how the crowd reacts. Well, let me try this again. Here we go.
This question stirred up a whole lot of controversy online. It comes from Stephen Hill, who is a soldier serving in Iraq.
In 2010, when I was deployed to Iraq, I had to lie about who I was because I'm a gay soldier, and I didn't want to lose my job. My question is, under one of your presidencies, do you intend to circumvent the progress that's been made for gay and lesbian soldiers in the military?
Yeah,
Boo, boo, you hear people booing. This is stunning to me. And just tell me your reaction.
Well, I'd like it to be stunning to me. After this display the last couple times, you know, you wonder why someone like Troy Davis can be put to death. It's because, certainly for the most part, anybody who's a Republican wouldn't dare come out against it because their base are death lovers. But apparently... they're also gay haters. Well, not apparently. We've known that for a while. But I mean, you know, this is literally the mob. This is the definition of like, not the mob as in mobsters, but a mob. I mean, this is like I compared it, you know, in a column I wrote a week ago to like a lynch mob. And I really don't think they're far off from that. Like, I think honestly, you're seeing like literally the most degrading aspects of human nature. The pure hatred. In these crowds that come to them. I mean, it's like, you ever see the end of Braveheart?
Freedom! Oh, yeah.
When they're disemboweling Mel Gibson, which I guess I'd cheer for that too, but I digress. how the crowd is just bloodthirsty. I mean, that's what you've got here. And it's why I've been arguing for a while that everything these guys do is driven by hate. And really, everybody tries to say, oh, the Tea Party, they're only about economic issues. No, really, they're not.
No,
they're not
well,
even
we know
about
that.
Economic
I mean,
issues.
We have empirical evidence that they're not actually now. But
I would say I'd go further. They're not even about economic issues because it's not about like they're not like you know traditional moderate. Republicans who wanted to balance the budget and I mean people that really meant that and believed it, they want to cut spending from people they hate.
Right.
You know what I mean? They don't want to cut it, not for themselves. If you're Michelle Bachmann, spend it on the family farm. Keep it coming.
Right.
You know, but
don't cut my Medicare.
Don't cut my
Social Security.
Right.
But
exactly.
Cut the stuff
they
that will affect black people.
Right. That's exactly right. They wield public policy at this point like it's a sword. And they're going after their enemies. And so if they can cut funding from people that are undeserving and ungodly and who they hate, they want to do it. And that's the same thing as the social. But it's all mixed in together. And it really is nothing so much as they're just angry, hateful, vicious people. I really don't know how else to put it because they're the base of human nature. They cheer on death. You know, if you get in a car accident or motorcycle accident, you don't have health insurance, it's your fault. If you're gay, too effing bad for you, you shouldn't be. That's what we're talking about.
What's really stunning about this to me, about this, there are two things. I mean, first off, what the message they're saying is that even though you are fighting to protect us, even though you were deployed in Iraq, even though you did all this because you're gay, we hate you. I mean, you know, it's like, the hate the sin, not the sinner. I don't know why I do that in a Southern accent, but that's probably where I've heard that phrase delivered.
Where
would
that come from?
but they clearly hate the sinner, too, in their minds. And there is no redemption for that sinner. It doesn't matter. It's not like, well, he's gay, but he also put his life on the line for us. It's just, you're gay, you're just boo. And what is really stunning to me is we now have the third example, right? The third example of the audience cheering executions screaming out, let him die, booing a soldier because he's gay, and not one candidate, not one candidate says, wait a second, Megyn Kelly stopped the debate. Hold on for a second. I just want to say that's inappropriate. I disagree with Don't Ask, Don't Tell being repealed, but that's inappropriate. This man has put his life on the line for us. Or I believe that society shouldn't be giving health insurance, but that's inappropriate to say let him die. Or I believe in the death penalty and we need to do this, but we should not be cheering about it. Not one of these eight people on that stage had the humanity to even put in check that notion of how craven they must be to just blurt it out. I mean, well, that's what's so stunning about these people.
Well, that's the problem, Sam, is that these, you know, the people who are in that audience are entirely representative of who the GOP base is. They've created this monster, this Frankenstein, and now they're slaves to it. They created it so, you know, that the mob to, you know, and brought out the worst instincts. And some people that are already politically active, they, you know, but others who probably weren't, and they brought, they literally united them all based upon their hatred for the other.
But you know, even like Newt Gingrich or Herman Cain, they must know they're not going to win. I mean, maybe they all think they're going to be vice presidents, but they must have not the slightest shred of humanity in them.
Yeah, but Herman Cain is apparently not smart enough to know that if three quarters of that crowd encountered him anywhere else besides that room, they'd run across the street if they didn't spit on him.
That's right. So, if Herman Cain was buying that pizza instead of selling that pizza, they'd shit all over him.
Well, what they do is if they had their way, is they would get rid of the Civil Rights Act and he wouldn't be allowed in the store.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, he'd be sitting at a different lunch counter. So, I mean, the amazing thing is that, you know, is that Herman Cain even has the sort of delusions that he belongs there. It just shows that that hatred can, you know, because he hates Muslims, which he's made quite clear in things he said. So hatred can even unite black and white. You know, it's like an old John Lennon song reversed upside down. You know, imagine all the haters. I mean, sorry, I can't sing well, so I won't do it. But I mean, that's what we're talking about here, is they found a way to unite disparate groups of people all through their, by using their hatred for other people. You know, and it's a dangerous thing, and that's where they become dangerous, because Mitt Romney knows better than this. He doesn't believe in three quarters probably what he's spouting up there,
right.
But he has to appeal to these people. I mean, it'd be nice if he actually had some courage of his convictions. I almost laugh saying that and saying Mitt Romney in the same sentence, and actually stood up and tried to win it, you know, by being who he is. Whichever person that actually is.
Yeah, I'm not even sure that Mitt Romney really knows, to be honest with you. I mean, that's the one thing that strikes me, is that I don't even think the reason why he comes off as so shaky is because I don't even think that he knows. You know, like, I don't even think he knows. You know, it's one thing for, you know, a guy up there, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say things I don't believe, and I'm going to do it because this is my agenda and blah, blah, blah. But I think when stuff comes out of his mouth, he doesn't even know where he really stands on it.
He's so twisted into a pretzel by now, I know.
I don't even think he even started with a fundamental belief system about that. I mean, he is one of the sort of the most – he's one of the most interesting characters, because on some level you wonder, like, how did you end up in politics? Like, I mean,
I think it's just because it was the family thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's it. I don't think he would be if he came, but he came from a family that had a political legacy, and his dad wanted to be president. And frankly, his dad would have made a hell of a better president than him. You know, and so because he came by it that way, I think, you know, make money for years shipping jobs to China like he did, because he's got no real core. But eventually, you know, he was going to run for president. And if the Rockefeller Republicans were the ones running things, the Romneys and the Nelson Rockefellers and their heirs, I just wrote a column recently on how the loss of that wing of the party is what's been so dangerous, you know, terrible for our politics. Charles Percy just died, you know, who was a great, you know, Illinois Republican who was actually to the left of Obama, another Illinois well, I won't say Republican. And, you know, he and Mark Hatfield a couple months ago, I mean, really giants from the Rockefeller wing of the party. And had they been in control right now, my guess is that that's what the – I mean, not my guess. I'm sure of it, that Mitt Romney would be running that way. But he's got, you know, he just does what he needs to do, and I think you're right. He's probably forgotten who he is. But he's got to know a lot of that stuff is not what he was brought up with by his family. He's not the Republican Party, you know, he grew up believing in, and just obviously doesn't care anymore. And again, they've created this monster, and if you want to be president badly enough, you have to bow to it.
Right.
So he's doing it. The one guy, at least, I don't know about what his deal was last night, but at least I'll give some credit to Huntsman, who at least come out on a couple of occasions and said, you know, and I don't agree with him, and I think his economic policy is insane, so don't anybody take this as any even close to an endorsement of Huntsman. You know, at least he came out and said, you know, that call me crazy, I believe in evolution and global warming. You know, I mean, at least he's the one person who's had had any moments of where he's been willing to stand up to that base. I guess you could say Ron Paul on issues of war and peace and stuff also potentially is at least willing to stand up to them. But you know, on other aspects of his hatred, you're right. You know, how can you sit in a room with somebody, when people, you know, boo a soldier? I would think if Democrats booed a soldier, we would be treated.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? There would be no other story. There would be no other story for weeks. There would be psychologists on TV. You'd have everything. I mean, it would be, I can't even imagine. All right, but I just want to read this clip. I don't have the sound on it, but Bachman, you know, she's out of the picture now, but she's actually one of the funnest people to watch up there. So she gets asked a question about taxes. You know, how much? What should be the tax rate? What should be the tax rate? And she goes, "I think you earned every dollar. You should get to keep every dollar that you earn. That's your money. That's not the government money. That's the whole point. Barack Obama seems to think that we earn money, it belongs to him. We're just lucky to keep a little bit of it. I don't think that at all. I think when people make money, it's their money." And then they were like, "So you're saying zero taxes?" And she says, "Well, obviously we have to give money back to the government so that we can run the government. But we have to have a completely different mindset. And that is the mindset. The American people are the genius of this economy." She was off her meds last night. Totally off her meds.
So you get to keep it all. But wait, obviously you have to give some of it back.
Right.
Hey, dingbat.
Right. No, the way you pack
that. There's some things in life that are mutually exclusive.
Right. Right. I mean, it was fantastic.
That's amazing.
The best part is that she's basically saying the tax rate should not be a number, should be a mindset. The way you calculate it
flows through you like the force.
You take your income, take your income, multiply it by your mindset. Whatever that figure is, that's what you pay attention to.
That's that new Republican math that gets you almost shutting the government down over not wanting to give people disaster relief. Right?
Let's talk about that. That's the last thing I want to talk to you about. About, you know, forget about Michelle Bachman. She's like literally having nothing but dessert at this point.
Well, we don't even need to talk about her because her mindset flips into the disaster relief, what you're saying about her, perfectly, because, again, it's what these people all think, which is, you know, they don't get how government actually works. They don't think you should have to pay taxes. You know, when it comes to this, the example is, I think the Senate passed this bill as a continuing resolution until November to pay for our government because funding runs out on September 30th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the Senate passed a version with $6.9 billion for disaster relief, especially in light of Irene and some of the earthquakes and everything recently. The Republicans cut that in half and or a little bit less than that, and have 3.6 in there. But they added in for the immediate disaster relief and then the stuff to go to people that, you know, need help now. There would have to be $1 billion or $1.5 billion in offsets for the billion now that's being given to them now, and that would have to come from fuel-efficient cars, of course, because we wouldn't want to breathe or we wouldn't want to actually know what an ice cap is 20 years from now. I feel like it's just punishment. We hate you, you intellectual idiot. Stop telling us what to do. You know, there's no sound policy to it. It's all just... This is what they're going to shut.
Wait, let me stop you for a second, because you probably don't know this because your computer's been down. But this morning, the Republicans they passed the continuing resolution, and all they changed was they added a $100 million cut to a Department of Energy clean energy loan program. And just that $100 million cut got another 23 Republicans to flip their votes. This is after Boehner, you know, got really pissed, apparently, at his caucus. Now, that to me suggests
they need to stick the middle finger up somehow.
Right.
And that's
right.
So in the end, really, it's not a billion like they wanted. It's not whatever, but it's you know what? We're not going to give you all what we want just because we're assholes.
Right. But let me ask you this. Is that indicative, right? What they could have done is they could have had an even more draconian cuts, right? They could have passed the cuts that the Tea Party wanted, and they could have just skedaddled out of town and left that to be the bill there and said, if the Senate doesn't adopt it, the government shuts down. They could have forced another government shutdown, but they didn't. I mean, I wonder if this is an indicative of they are sort of feeling like we got to be careful here because we have pushed this a little too much. I mean, it seems to me that they're getting just a little bit tentative, and maybe that's a function of Obama being more aggressive.
Maybe. I would say two things. First of all, Obama is making them look worse because he's being more aggressive, thank God. You know, and we've talked about that. You know, coming out here to Ohio and talking, speaking at that bridge, the Brent Spence Bridge, which is probably not far from falling down between northern Kentucky and Cincinnati. You know, important areas, important commuting areas that obviously are important to economic development, something that could create jobs for people, the whole thing. He's all going on offense. He's doing what you and I have been screaming about he should have done during the stimulus fight and everything, which is when you go to their districts and make them look stupid, and that is connected between two districts, a northern Kentucky one and which is a Republican one. the guy's name there is Jeff Davis. I'm sure that'll shock you. And then the Cincinnati one, Steve Chabot, who they just made his district stronger in redistricting, but he still could – lose, you know, in an election if he's challenged by the right person. And then, of course, the broader message hits Boehner, whose district is next door, and Mitch McConnell,
right,
the Republican leader who is in Kentucky. And I agree. I think what I think is it's not changing the minds of the sort of 60 or so Tea Party warriors who were elected last year, because I think they're just a bunch of nincompoops. They don't understand in government. They're the Michelle Bachmanns. They have no idea how government works.
Right.
They really shouldn't be representing anything much outside of, like, you know, a set of porta potties somewhere. But somehow they made it to Congress. And so the truth is, I just think they're insane. But I think Boehner and McConnell and all of them have decided they have to reassert some kind of control, because they're going to lose the business wing of their party, because the business wing of their party is realizing that these people are crazy. And so I do think, and I think Boehner is also, and McConnell are feeling threatened because Obama's hitting them. So yes, I do think the leadership of the Republican Party is reasserting a little bit of the sanity, which is just, I mean, again, when you talk about these guys like Charles Percy and those guys as the sort of leadership of the Republican Party, now the adults in the room are Mitch McConnell and John Boehner.
Right.
If that doesn't tell you how far things have fallen, I mean, I really don't know what could.
Right. And when we say sanity, all we're talking about is essentially some notion of their political fortunes, because it's not a policy sanity they're talking about. They're just saying, like, hey, guys, you don't understand how out of step you are with the American public. You're now playing to like 15% of the population. We got to bring this number back up to around 35 or 40% so that we have a shot at this.
We can use corporate super PACs and funding and
redistricting,
you know, against, we can make up for about 20% of people that we can lie, cheat, and steal from. But, you know, there's only so much we can even pull off while we're still allowing elections to occur. So, I think that's exactly right. I think that the leadership got together, and my guess is they used their power and went to some of these freshman guys and threatened them and just said, you want funding for your reelection? You want primary challengers? You know, that would be my guess. Is they went and they put their foot down with a bunch of these guys and said, you better damn well vote for this.
Right, and committee, you know? I think committee spots, I've heard rumors that they were threatening committee seats and stuff like that. So, Yeah.
We'll let you save face with your $100 million cut. Go back to your district and brag about that.
Right.
You know, but you're going to have to vote for this thing because you're letting your crazy show a little too much.
All right, Cliff Schechter. Well said. Thank you so much for joining us as always on Fridays. Always a pleasure. And you know, I know the schedule was back and forth a little bit, but thank you so much for hanging in and joining us.
It is one of the most fun times of the week, Sam. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your saying that because that makes me happy because this is one of my most fun times. This is wonderful.
It makes me happy. I feel better. It's cathartic.
Cliff Schechter.
Thank you, and I'll talk to you soon.
See you
bro.
Soon. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Chris Rosen. And then we still have the songs. A little tight on time. We have to shorten Rosen's segment today. All right.
Chris Rosen.
Literally five minutes with Chris Rosen today. We'll be right back. Chris Rosen, did you hear that?
I did. That was pretty clever. You know, I was actually talking over it while it was happening, but
yeah.
Then I realized that it was you already had done that. So
that's funny. We should actually record that and take that one because I was wondering, like, wow, there's more of those than I thought. So we have the amended version now. Of course, you know, people have not stopped sending us stuff, and forgive me, I don't remember who this was. I'll figure it out. But this is, and you won't be able to hear this one because it's on my computer. But this is from Robot Cake. This is. You didn't hear that one, did you?
No.
Oh, it was really good. It's somebody remixed in like sort of like a robot talk. But here is another one. The Screamin' Majority did a remix of that as well. Here it is.
Chris Rosen, MovieVote.com, vertical editor. Now you think of the bomb. You sit in an office, but you're still swab. Jimmy Reeves and Jake wants to know.
How did you get in that job?
And there, the Screaming Majority actually did an impression, like sort of almost like they're almost like a knockoff band of like a tribute band to Jimmy Reefercake singing the song. Are you there?
Yes, I didn't know if I was supposed to be talking. I just, you know.
Well, you
is
didn't...
this thing on?
Yeah, it's on. All right, look, we don't have much time. So what do you got? Only have 1 minute.
Only have 1 minute? Well, I just wanted to say to all my fans out there, it's great to be back on with Sam. I had a couple of nice people tweeting at me last night. I don't know if you saw that, Sam. Here's one from Jeff Jewell.
Dude, you're not going to read to me positive tweets to you because I got. Don't make me go into like reading all like literally how many emails I get a day.
Let me just read this one to you. It says, 42-inch TV. I am at 42-inch TV if you'd like to follow me on Twitter. I think it's very well worth your while. But anyway, Jeffrey writes, please take hashtag majority FM and at Sam Cedar seriously and spend maybe 3 and maybe 4 minutes doing some air quotes, quote, research, air quotes, before Friday. So thank you, Jeffrey, for the positive remark. And also Kyle. But you know, I think you know Kyle. He does some nonsense for your show. He writes, reminder, you were supposed to review movies for Majority FM. So thanks for the heads up, Kyle. I put that in my task manager on Google. So
you have really become, in you know, I've now been doing radio for 8.5 years now.
And it's amazing how good I've gotten at it, right? I mean, I think
I guess
really
7.5 years. 7.5 years.
I'm really good at it.
No. I'm not talking about you.
It's amazing to me.
I've done radio for 7.5 years, and I've had multiple shows. And
radio, quote.
I have never. Well, I'm also on Ring of Fire, buddy. I mean, I don't know what your point is, but point is, I've never ever gotten more hate mail about someone who appeared on my show than you. I mean, even Eric Altman back in the day,
I mean,
people would get pissed because he would eat when he was
on mail. You call it hate mail. I call it attention mail.
All right, quick. Give me the name of some movies.
Movie today, you're going to laugh at me, probably hang up on me. I would suggest Bridesmaids for this weekend. It's out on Amazon On Demand.
Bridesmaid?
It was a good movie.
Oh, was it?
It was a very good movie, actually.
Oh, I shouldn't have hung up on him. What is it? I thought was it like a?
It's that comedy that came out over the summer with Kristen Wiig from SNL. It was actually very funny. It's like an all female cast of female comedians, and it's actually very funny.
I'll call him back. I'm sorry, I didn't know.
It was one of those surprisingly good movies. It was a surprise hit. It was really good.
Oh, because I hung up on him. I thought it was a bad movie, and he's probably still talking.
Hello.
Chris?
Yes, is this on?
Yeah, sorry. Accidentally hung up on you.
I defended you there, Chris Rosen, just know that.
No, I accidentally hung up on you. So Bridesmaids is supposed to be good. Is it on Netflix or Amazon?
Hang on one sec. I just had to go back into a fake office because I don't have an office here. Yes, it's on Amazon, actually, Sam. You can watch it.
Okay, great.
It's a very funny movie. I think you should see that. I don't know. I don't know why we got disconnected.
It was an accident. Sometimes I don't have that robust of a system.
Sometimes your finger just slips.
No, I didn't hit any button.
And then the next one I want to recommend also might get hung up on by accident is Airplane, which is finally on Netflix.
Oh, God. Thank God. You really uncovered a gem there. Airplane.
It's not supposed to uncover a gem. First of all, for Netflix, that is a gem because Netflix stinks. But second
what did you do? What did you do?
You know,
look at a list of movies and just you didn't even get past the A's.
No, actually, I just went to Netflix.com this minute and I saw Airplane on there, so I thought that would be good.
Chris Rosen, what's your opinion on Quickster?
Who's that talking to me?
Just shut up. Just answer the question. Netflix
I heard about that, Quickster. We did a little thing on that this week at AOL Movie Phone, if you'd like to come check out AOLMoviePhone.com. No. I think that's stupid. I mean, why would you do that? I think that's just Netflix is grasping at straws, but that's what they're going to have to do. They didn't want to get rid of the DVD portion of their business, which is a huge cash albatross at this point. I think their future is streaming.
Great insight there. Really appreciate that. That's really good.
I think that was actually a
very considerate question, considering that you don't really review movies. I mean, you don't even recommend them. Going to the front page of Netflix and mentioning a movie that you saw on the front page of Netflix isn't – you're not doing anything. And so Matt thought that maybe if he asked you about the business side of it, you'd have some insight. And all
Matt,
you said was like,
"That's his name. That's a
that's all you
name
said.
Usually,
all you said
yeah.
was like, yeah, I don't know. It sort of seems silly. I don't. They're trying to make money. Netflix. Blah blah blah. I mean, honestly, what do you do? What do you do?
I really do a lot of research on this, you know, 3 to 4 minutes a week. I think
no,
that's a
I'm
lot.
Not asking
and
about
really
what you
think,
do for the show. I'm saying, what do you do?
I do a lot of writing, Sam. You know, I'm a big writer.
About what?
Big shot vertical editor. You heard the song.
About what?
About movies.
Oh. All right, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Sam. Great job. Bridesmaid's very funny.
I actually, my mouse pad has gotten far more sensitive these days. Did not mean to do that. All right, let's go to our songs. We're running a little late. Folks, I should tell you, please become a member of the Majority Report. I don't think we had any new members yesterday. Maybe it was the day before. And we need new members. We need it. I don't know what to tell you. You can join at majority.fm. You keep this show alive. You get extra footage, soundage. I don't know. You know, I got some equipment to go and do this remote broadcast. I think we've got it down now. I mean, I think it's going to be really seamless. Unless, of course, it rains, and we're doing it outside. That was the only thing that could actually go wrong, and it did. But so please, folks, your support is crucial to keeping the show alive. And, of course, there is absolutely, even if you're one of the cheapest mofos in the world, there's absolutely no reason for you not to give us an iTunes. You know, just go in there and just say, give 5 stars and say it's great. Or to nominate us at podcastawards.com. Go and do it now in the politics news section, right?
Yes.
The politics news section. And then if you're a coffee drinker, why? And you haven't tried just coffee, you're making a massive mistake. It's great coffee. And you get a 10% discount using the coupon code MAJORITY, and it comes right to your door. Don't be foolish about this. Please, I'm begging you. All right, folks, you can always join us in the post show or the better half of the show. But first, before we go there, let's play Jimmy Reefer Cakes. This is not class warfare. It's math. Reefer Cake felt that Obama said it well this week, so he had to get him in the studio and jam out with me. That's a quote. Here it is, folks. This is not class warfare. It's math.
So the speaker says we can't have it my way or the highway, and then basically says my way or the highway.
That's not smart. That's not right. These Republicans are putting up an awful fight. President Obama gives them one last chance. You know what they can do with that olive branch. It's not fair. This is not class warfare. The Buffett rule couldn't be more fair. It's math. There should be no more debate. We have work to do and jobs to create.
Anybody who says we can't change the tax code to correct that
is lying.
Anyone who has signed some pledge to protect every single tax loophole so long as they live, they should be called out. They should have to defend that unfairness.
Because it's wrong. The economic situation is getting dire, so President Obama is spitting hot fire, telling them what is fair and square.
Middle class families shouldn't pay higher taxes than millionaires and billionaires. That's pretty straightforward. It's hard to argue against that.
Fantastic.
Wow, that was really good, Jimmy Reefer Cake. Was that Obama on keys?
Did President Obama actually come in and play the instrument?
That was
That was awesome.
Yeah, I thought I give that an A+ this week. I mean, I don't mean to, you know, I just thought that was great.
Are we ever going to get around to making an album of all of these?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Right after I put the raccoon footage online, we got a huge long line of stuff that we got to do. All right. And David Benjoya, the Screaming Majority, says, here's a little show tune that Dan Killian, he, of course, is also a member of the Screaming Majority, wrote with some help from Wisconsin Jeff, with Dan as Mitt, Paula as Bachman, and me as Perry. Forgive the epic length. And he says, PF, not on behalf of everyone, but I, Dave, love the Chris Rosen segment, which leads me to believe that Paula and Dan were like, no, don't. They don't even want their name. They don't even want the implication that they like Chris Rosen, whatever his name is. All right, here we go. It is Mitt, Prick, and what's her name?
I believe in science.
I believe in God.
Of course, we all believe in God.
Yeah, a Mormon God with albino Indian angels.
We're all basically evangelical.
You believe in global warming.
I said I believe in something. I'm looking for proof.
And you put your dog up on the roof.
But I'm electable and I'm acceptable.
You're as dull as hell and I'm incredible.
If things stay bad, either one of us could beat Iraq. We're gonna get the White House back.
You wanna dismantle Social Security?
Uh-huh, that's me.
Oh, me too. Really?
You invented Obamacare.
That was just for Massachusetts. I really think it's useless.
Hey, remember me? I used to be in the top three.
Now I got the crazy mojo.
You're really just like me.
As if.
Exactly. I'm as if.
Well, you are a little stiff.
But I'm electable and I'm acceptable.
I'm kind of lazy, but Michelle makes me look a little less crazy.
Uh-huh.
If things stay bad, any one of us could beat Barack.
Except Michelle. She's kind of beyond the
path. We're going to get the White House back.
You vaccinated those 12-year-old girls. That's an issue, you know.
Hey, if it was up to me, we'd still have polio.
I'll admit that was a mistake.
Wait. On Social Security, you're doubling down. But on cervical cancer, you're not going to stand your ground?
Hey, I know what makes the Tea Party hot. And what's more, I believe in an actual Christian God. That's why I'm electable and I'm acceptable.
I'm never going to win it because Republicans are bigots.
If things stay bad, any one of us could be the rap. But it's going to be me.
Gonna get the White House back.
I could win it, too.
It was over before it started.
That vaccine makes kids turn retarded.
Maybe we should give it to everyone.
I would put the chances of a Broadway producer producing that at about zero right now. Get that on its feet! This is a gold mine.
That's what I was going to say.
Now, was it me or I couldn't hear the Perry voice that much? Was it staticky?
Oh, you know, you're running one ear.
Okay, good. I was reading the lines. Okay, good. That's fantastic. Yeah, both songs today were exceptional. But I think the Screaming Majority is onto something. I smell off-Broadway play.
They should definitely do that.
Jesus, why not? Put that shit up for a night.
And for a small management fee, the Majority Report can...
Well, you know, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, Majority Report Productions. We can... we have the ability to produce black and white flyers.
I'd make a great Gary Johnson if you want me to.
Gary Johnson really, really was like, how am I going to stick out from this crowd? I'm just going to out-libertarian Ron Paul and hopefully not get a question about anything that everybody else here would have a problem with. You know, what's a real shame is no Buddy Romer on that stage, because that would be the most interesting candidate, and I mean that in a sincere fashion. All right, folks. Thank you for joining us. You may now join me in the better half of the show, where we will talk about Occupy Wall Street, maybe perhaps some other stories. You can call us at 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920, or I am me at Majority FM. Majority FM, I will take your IMs. If not, see you Monday.